If you'd like to follow along with the text that I'd like to take for our introduction, you could turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans.
Welcome to the Grace and Mercy Hour, brought to you by Rocky Mount Church in Arab, Alabama. Rocky Mount Church is a Primitive Baptist congregation, a family-integrated church that seeks to worship God in spirit and in truth, a church that seeks to maintain the simplicity of New Testament worship. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for contact information, and may the Lord bless our time together today.
Brother Paul starts off, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to engage one another to incite that process, that transformation process. I want you guys, and I know that each one of you want it for each other. I want you to not be conformed to the image of the world. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to see you thriving in your walk with God. I want to see you zealous about the word. I want to see you furrowing your brow at how you can better serve Christ. I want to see that process happen, and I trust that you all want to see that in all one another, and we can all help one another do that as we endeavor to not be conformed to the image of the world. Regarding that, there are forces among the world, in the world, that are actively striving to undermine the things that we believe, the things that we do. And we know that. We see that. You watch TV, listen to music for 10 minutes. You'll see it. You'll hear it. You'll get that message. Where else do we need to be renewed? Where does our mind need to be renewed? We're talking about family. This is a little related, but not directly related. We talked a little bit about family and some of these messages, some of these thoughts. Another message that I see, something that is causing a lot of confusion among the church and among folks that are outside of the church, the idea of masculinity and femininity. Masculinity and femininity. I trust that, and we're going to tie this back to the idea of family, because masculinity and femininity play huge roles in the family. Families are designed to have both inputs. There's a lot of messages out there about masculinity and femininity, and just the way that I see this this concept of, oh, I'll do family, but you know, let me first do a thing. I see a lot of confusion about masculinity and femininity. So I'm going to hit both of those. I'm going to do one at a time here. So bros, I'm going to talk to you first. We're going to talk about masculinity, and ladies, we're going to come around. We're going to wrap up with you guys. So don't worry. What is secular masculinity? What is the message of the world regarding masculinity? What's a manly man with regards to the world? What's a manly man? Somebody who is non-expressive and non-feeling. I'm really tough. You can do whatever you want. You can punch me in the face, and whatever happens to me, I'm always going to be gruff, and I'm going to be non-expressive. I'm not going to cry for sure. Probably won't even laugh that much. Non-expressive, physically tough, physically strong, got big muscles. Maybe you like, maybe you ride a lot of motorcycles. You probably spend a lot of time with women. You pursue the attention of women just as readily as you can. It doesn't matter which women. You've got a taste for alcohol. You like to have a little whiskey, have a little bourbon, some kind of fancy Irish something. I don't know. I don't do the alcohol because of my Crohn's. Maybe guns. Mainly men like guns. They like to shoot ARs. Maybe you're into tobacco. You like to have a little, go sip some whiskey and have a nice cigar. That's kind of perceived as masculine. Sports. You're into fitness, being outdoorsy. You got your Carhartt jacket. You like to go hiking and you know, you can do all the outdoorsy things. I'm not saying any of these things in particular are necessarily bad. I'm just trying to get your thoughts going. What is secular masculinity? What does the world say is a manly man? What's a manly man? Brothers, do not break yourself against the secular image of masculinity, because it is fluid and it is changing. And the secular view of masculinity, similarly to the secular view of anything, I believe is specifically designed to be enticing and to keep you chasing after something that you can never attain. I see in a lot of ways youth is a tie to manly men. We don't really think of elderly men as manly men. They've had their time, they've lifted their weights, they've been in the gym, they've gone and saved the world, but they're done. It's time for them to just kind of be retired and just sit. They're not so manly as they used to be. I'm not what I used to be. Friends, these things are lies. These things are lies designed and intended to come into your mind and to drag you into conformity to the world and to keep you discontent with yourself. Because if I'm a man and I am pursuing secular masculinity, I am never going to get there. I'm never going to get there. And as long as I want it is as long as I don't have it. As much effort as I put into having it is as much time as I'm going to spend not having it. So what's biblical masculinity? What can we have? I want to be a manly man. I think if you're a guy here, you want to be a manly man. You want to be a man that has masculinity. Masculinity has important effects in your life. If you're married, I believe that your wife would be happier if you were a masculine kind of guy. Yes. Let's look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Let's flip there. We'll go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we'll find a few examples for ourselves. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 7, we'll find a few of these guys. Starting in verse 7, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of those things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeking him who is invisible. Our three examples we have here, masculinity. These are men we look to as kind of pillars of the faith, Old Testament men who had great faith. They're in this Hebrews 11. Some folks call it the Hall of Faith. I'm cool with that. That makes sense. We have Noah, and we have Moses, and we have Abraham. These three men. The three men, some of the biggest pillars of our religion. No doubt. What is our pattern here? We have Noah, who prepared an ark in the days of the flood and in which saved his family and was able to perpetuate the human race. We have Abraham, who time and again was called unto great measures by the Lord and who obeyed, taking his family with him. And we have Moses, who was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth in Pharaoh's house, but decided that he would rather suffer affliction and suffer oppression with his brethren, Israel, rather than enjoy the season of sin and of pleasure. What pattern do I see among these three men? In this Hebrews 11, of these manly men, I believe these are manly men. These are guys that have a biblical masculinity about them. What is my pattern? Noah, Moses, and Abraham. What I see is, let me speak into the microphone here. What I see in these men is selflessness facilitated by faith. Selflessness facilitated by faith. I look at the man Noah. Noah is not a secular manly man. He's an old guy. He's a preacher. Probably does some farming and stuff. After the flood and after they come off the ship, he's on his hands and knees in the flower bed. Not in the flower bed, but he planted a vineyard. So he likes to do his gardening. He planted a vineyard. So not somebody that we would look at and say, yeah, he's a real manly man, weightlifter, cigars, whatever. Noah, but what did Noah have? Noah had selflessness facilitated by faith when God came to him and called him and said, Noah, I want you to prepare for a natural event that has never happened in the history of the world. He did it. He did it. Noah, regarding not himself, regarding not his reputation, regarding not the fact that he was going to look like a loony preparing for something that had never happened before, and to the obedience of Christ and to the saving of his family. Noah, through his selflessness, through the selflessness that was facilitated by his faith in God, exhibited service to God and exhibited service to his family. He exhibited those two things in his selflessness and in his faith. He regarded not himself as he built this ark and as he went forward. The reason we look at Noah as a pillar of our faith and as a man that's full of masculinity is because of that selflessness that he had facilitated by that faith. We can look at Abraham. Abraham, again, is not so much of a manly man. Again, he's kind of old. He didn't have any kids. He goes around. He's living in tents. He's just a guy. Abraham is just a guy. What did Abraham do? Time and again, filled with faith in God, engaged in extreme measures to the extent of carrying his son up to Mount Moriah in preparation to sacrifice and to kill his only son in service to God. Abraham exhibited selflessness facilitated by faith to the end that he would serve his family and serve God and establish his place in our religion as the father of our faith. And notice in that passage, it says that he was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. He did it with his family. When God came to Abraham and said, hey, I want you to get up out of Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to give you and your descendants, he took his family, not regarding himself, for the faith that he had in God, took his family with him in service to his family and in service to God, left all that he knew and left behind the life that he knew to serve God and to serve his family with selflessness facilitated by faith. Then we have Moses. Moses was not a manly man by secular standards. I don't think there was anything exceptional about him in that way. From what I can tell, Moses was probably regarded by a lot of people as kind of a lowlife. Kind of one of the first things we see Moses doing is getting real hot under the collar about somebody beating one of his friends up, and so he just goes up and kills him and skips town. If we had a friend that did that, we would kind of say, ugh, he's kind of a rough guy. He's got a record. Moses does. But Moses being in the house of Pharaoh, we're familiar with the events of Moses' life and how he got into the household of Pharaoh. He set that aside through selflessness facilitated by faith, set aside the pleasures and the ease of a life of luxury so that he could go and be with his people for service to God and for service to his family, so that he could be with his family and not be in a place while his family was suffering and while he was sitting in the lap of luxury. He, in selflessness and in faith, left which was comfortable and that which was familiar, which he had grown up in, to be with his family, to serve his family, and to serve God. Finally, we see Jesus as an example of masculinity. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus exhibited this masculinity, the same that Moses exhibited, that Abraham exhibited, that Noah exhibited. Jesus, being in perfect harmony as the second member of a triune God, left heaven, left that which was comfortable, left perfection in service to God and in service to his brethren, to his family. Christ left that behind. Christ being the ultimate example of a manly man. So a man who has masculinity, Jesus is our example. Jesus had faith in God and through selflessness was able to leave behind that which was enjoyable and pleasurable for him to serve his brethren and to serve his family and to serve God. Now, I got a few minutes left, but I'm not going to leave the ladies behind. So let's talk about femininity. What's femininity? What's secular femininity? We need to pray for our sisters. Brothers, we need to pray for our sisters because femininity is the dictionary definition of a moving target right now. Secular femininity has a lot of faces and looks a lot of different ways. There's the idea of kind of a small, petite, pretty girl who dresses really nice, but's kind of quiet, kind of a European, a girly girl kind of thing. But also what we're seeing in culture now is this kind of loud, boisterous, partying, independent kind of woman. There's this idea of femininity that's coming around. Secular femininity, if the pursual of secular masculinity is a moving target and something I will never achieve, then secular femininity is that times three. Secular femininity is something that's going to be a hard target to run down. So what's biblical femininity? If I can leave behind my secular femininity, you sisters, what should we go for? What should y'all go for? I'll turn to what is probably the most needful and immediately relevant text is the 31st Proverb, Proverbs 31. We see a picture of a godly woman, a woman that is virtuous, the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, if we go through, and for the sake of time, I won't read through a lot of the text here, but in Proverbs 31, one of the characteristics that jumps out to me, verse 13 says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." It says, "She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar." Verse 15, "She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household." Verse 17 says, "She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is a hardworking woman. She works hard. She has a good work ethic. She works in service to her family. And I want to emphasize that, the service to the family. There's a message out there, and that's fine, and I understand where the message comes from in a lot of ways, that a woman's place is in the kitchen. And you know, that's, you can kind of laugh at it maybe a little bit, but there is that message out there among Christianity and outside of Christianity that a woman should stay at home. That a woman's place is at home, specifically at home and nowhere else but at home. What I'll notice is this. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff." This woman works in service to her family. She works in service to her family. That's what I'm seeing. She gives food to her family. She creates clothes for her family. She works in service to her family. But verse 14, she's like merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This woman is not in her kitchen all day. I do not believe a virtuous, godly woman exclusively belongs in her home. This woman works in her community. Among the needy in her community, she goes out and evaluates a field and buys it. She makes that call for herself on behalf of her family. She does these things. And so I believe that there are seasons in the life of a family where a woman's responsibility rests primarily in the home, particularly when your children are young. But that is not the single, sole, and exclusive place that a woman can serve her family. The service to the family, I believe, is that most necessary bit. And so masculinity and femininity, we're talking about family. Let's wrap up and bring it together. What do we have? Guys with masculinity, you do not have to pursue after these things. When you get old, your muscles go away a little bit, and that's fine. You know, if you're like me and your gut's a little weird and you can't have alcohol and you can't do your cigar or whatever, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with those things, but doing those things does not make you a man. And if you can pursue selflessness facilitated by your faith, you will be the manliest man that you can possibly be, following in the example of Jesus Christ, who was the manliest man that we could look to. And we can achieve that. We can achieve that, and we don't have to break ourselves against fitness and against outdoorsy and against, you know, whatever else you feel compelled to do. And for you ladies, you do not have to break yourself against secular femininity. You do not have to look a certain way. I'm compelled to read 1 Peter 3:3, who says, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." You do not have to break yourself against secular femininity. You do not have to be any kind of way that the world tells you to be. Because if you let that most valuable thing that adorns you be your character and be your inner man, your inner woman, if you will, if you pursue service to your family, and if you are young and you are not married, you have a family. Look to your left and your right. You have a family. If you're married, if you have kids or not, if you're older and your kids are away, everyone who is sitting in this room has a family. Every young lady and every young man, every older lady and every older man, we have a family that we can serve. And so let biblical masculinity and biblical femininity come together and play their roles. I believe when we seek after biblical femininity and biblical masculinity, they will work together as God intended in the family and in the church. They will play their roles. They will not step on one another's toes all the time. But the content of our character is what makes us the most of what we ought to be.
Thank you again for listening. Rocky Mount Church is a Primitive Baptist congregation located near Arab, Alabama. We invite you to look us up on the web at rockymountpbc.org. That's rockymountpbc.org. You'll find various resources there on our website, as well as additional links to other Primitive Baptist sites. You'll find contact information there, and we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to the next opportunity we can spend some time together. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.